Chapter 19. Blood Ties. Venemandra. Diocolacer. Slowly siphon off the lost blood. 2 drops of purple sleeping potion, 3 of full hydrate, and 1 spoonful of blood replenishing potion, each administered with an eyedropper. Adjust the oxygen flow for the added blood volume. Change the leaf covering the jargon. Knot the newly cleaned headband once more. Check the bedpan. Check the oxygen flow. Check Yukina. Kurama blinked, abruptly noticing the night had faded into morning, when a jar intruded into his vision. "Breakfast, Mr. Minamino," Madame Pomfrey said softly. A tray of covered dishes appeared on Hiei's nightstand. "You first, then him. Directions are on the jar." She yawned into her hand, setting the jar in an empty corner of the tray. "Stimulant?" Kurama asked, offering her a split fruit, rather like a peach-colored coconut. She patted a flattened square bottle in her apron pocket. "I have my own, Mr. Minamino, but thank you." Kurama shrugged and drank the remaining juice. The stuff tasted terrible, and he was going to have awful headaches when this was all over and he stopped taking it. But better than killing Hiei early because he'd not paid attention to the flower doing duty as an oxygen mask. Early, being relative, of course. They'd be lucky to get 2 weeks, and Madame Pomfrey couldn't guess how many days there'd be before the damage the jargon was doing became irreversible. He caught himself before he tugged a lock of hair and the seed hidden there, shifting the move to pick up the tray and start methodically eating the bland breakfast. Silence fell over the infirmary, broken only by Hiei's soft, labored breathing. To be taken down by a boogeyman and a cheap curse. The fork twisted in Kurama's grip, blunt edge biting into his palms, before he exhaled and deliberately pushed the tray away. Another minute adjustment to the oxygen flower, and he picked up the jar Madame Pomfrey left. Nutritive liniment. Rub 1 generous palmful on the throat and sternum, 3 times a day at mealtimes. The label read. Do not use in conjunction with food, gastric potions, or pepper up. Do not apply to broken skin. Kurama unbuttoned Hiei's pajama top and unscrewed the lid with the same delicate pressure he used on his rose whip, his eyes stinging at the potion's astringent smell, and scooped out the required dose. His hands rested lightly on the soft point between Hiei's collarbones before sliding upwards, fingers shying away from the thready pulse in Hiei's throat. He's so cold. Hiei should have been a degree or 2 warmer than Kurama himself, or been cool the way that suggested a banked fire, as he had at winter solstice. Instead of banked, Hiei's fire felt of little more than ashes, fragile, and as pale as his complexion had gone under the tan, as if Kurama could feel the magical substance being eroded away. As if a demon, made of as much magic as matter, would simply dry up without that magic, as surely as a human would without water. Kurama snatched his hands away, barely hearing the door open. He did, however, hear the very familiar yelp. "Merlin, Kurama!" Neville slung a knapsack under Hiei's bed and pressed 1 heavy hand high on Kurama's back. Kurama found himself nose to knees, tiny spots fading from his vision. "Head down, breathe in, out. Not too deep, okay?" "What? You're dead white. When was the last time you ate?" Kurama waved at the half-eaten tray on the nightstand. "Oh, should I get Madame Pomfrey?" No, I had no idea I looked that bad." Kurama pushed himself half upright, brushing his hair out of his face to offer Neville a false smile. "It's been a long night, that's all." "Yeah," Neville murmured, searching out and finding a chair. "Our dorm's been in a state," he said over his shoulder, a note in his voice that Kurama recognized all too well. Chiori used it all through her illness, trying to help her little boy believe everything would be fine. One of our own, you know? And, well, Hiei's not popular? Kurama almost snorted at the thought. But there's a lot of upperclassmen who... Neville trailed off, glancing sidelong at Kurama. You kind of start to think teachers like him are invincible, I guess, he said more softly, before plowing on. Then Ron and Hermione had a row, and Lavender and Parvati started scaring the younger years with portents and stuff, and the Quidditch team got into it and blew out the fireplace. Yusuke, Kurama muttered. He didn't mean to, but it set off a lot of tempers. So what with people trying to sneak out, and the prefects shouting down the roof, and McGonagall and Filch and Genkai? Well, I don't think half the house got any sleep at all. I hope you did. Didn't really need much. We've been sleeping the past 3 days. Kurama lifted a finger, and Neville fell silent, as Madame Pomfrey bustled back into the room. She cast the colorful diagnostic spell, then her 3 healing charms in quick succession, holding the last one, the siphoning spell, while Kurama readied the eyedroppers. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Neville go pale as Hiei's blood soaked into a sponge. Here, Kurama murmured, tapping Neville on the wrist and directing his attention to the translucent flower over Hiei's nose and mouth. The flower's adding oxygen to the air Hiei breathes, but Madame Pomfrey is going to administer a replenishing potion. When she does, almost a quarter of Hiei's blood will be restored at once, and the extra oxygen will throw Hiei's system out of balance. Kurama reached into the flower with his magic, feeling the faint echo of Neville's magic following his own. It's a lot like hyperventilation. Not very threatening on its own, but it makes the blood vessels constrict. There are small tears appearing in Hiei's blood vessels, so... He kept an eye on the last, largest eyedropper, watching the blood-replenishing potion flow slowly into Hiei's mouth, and lowering the oxygen output at that rate. Any pressure could cause more breaks and more internal bleeding. Madame Pomfrey moved to take off the headband, barely dotted with damp spots and thin streaks of a drying brownish red. Kurama turned his and Neville's magic to the large leaf over Hiei's forehead. Tranquilizer. The curse killing Hiei is centered under it. Pinching the stem between forefinger and thumb, he strengthened the potency while Madame Pomfrey charmed the headband and its inner embroidery clean. It can't stay this strong for more than a minute, or it'll cause damage. Killing the Jogon would kill Hiei, plain as that. The headband helps. He knotted the headband back in place, slid their magic through the oxygenating flower again, and pulled free. So? Slowly, Neville's brow furrowed. The headband helps? He echoed. It has a spell written inside it. Not my area of expertise. Kurama trailed off, watching something thunderous pass over Neville's face. He knew, Neville murmured. This whole time, he never took the headband off, not even to sleep. He's always had that curse. Yes, Kurama ran a hand wearily through his hair. But he never mentioned how easily it could be set off. I'm going to strangle him. Even if he had to do it those last few hours in Reikai. A commotion at the door cut off whatever response Neville might have made. Take your 10 minutes and... The door banged into the wall, covering the rest of Yusuke's sentence. It's the right time in Tokyo! He strode in next to a stone-faced Kuwabara, Quidditch robes billowing. As I was about to say, you may come in quietly, Madame Pomfrey said with a huff, twisting out of their way despite the inherent threat that she'd hex them right back out, as she'd done to Kuwabara the night before. This is a sick room, and I expect some attempt at decorum. Yusuke twitched, an aborted move to duck away, a hint of red on his face. Well, he said more quietly, okay then, as long as we're clear on that. They crossed the room, Kuwabara making a beeline for Yukina and the chair he'd been forced to abandon at 2 in the morning, and Yusuke stopped next to Kurama and Neville. Yo! Kurama favored him with a slight nod, while Neville said, Morning. Not a good one. Don't you got somewhere to be? Yusuke asked, not unkindly. That forest thing? The centaurs, Neville replied. No, we're going to cancel. Kurama's head snapped up. He hadn't yet explained about how the head stallion had snubbed him. Neville, you can't go anywhere right now, the boy said mulishly, as if Kurama would argue the fact. I know. Kurama took a deep breath. But Malgorain never expected me to come. When Neville showed no signs of making the logical leap, he clarified, You're supposed to go alone this time. One blink. Two. But... Yusuke's hand clapped down on Neville's shoulder and leaned forward to say in a low voice, Look, Nev. Subtle hint? I want to talk to Kurama before the damn game, and since everybody's gonna be there... He tipped his chin towards Kuwabara, and his voice got a bit softer. Might as well give him some family time, right? Neville's eyes went wide with chagrin. I should have thought of that, he muttered. Kuwabara, I mean, he's completely gone over Yukina, and... I'll just go talk to Magoraine. All the same, he hesitated, half out of the chair. If you're sure about sending just me? You'll do fine, Kurama assured him. Something about that firmed up Neville's expression, and the boy left. Yusuke watched him go, then plopped down on the vacated chair in a swirl of red and gold robes. How you holding up? Quite well. Physically, at least. Kurama looked back at Hiei, the expressiveness he'd dredged up for Neville draining from his face. It'll be something to see if he gives out first, or I do. Not what I meant. Kurama shrugged. I'm only letting myself be deeply insulted at the moment. He didn't give Yusuke the chance to react, instead tipping his head back towards Kuwabara. How is... He's not doing so good, Yusuke answered. It was bad enough just with Yukina and Hiei, but then it hit that he's losing a brother before he really could be one. Even if all that hassling each other's kind of what brothers do. Ah. Yusuke exhaled noisily. So, what's the plan? That got Kurama's attention. What? Come on, you gotta be considering something crazy, suicidal, and probably really illegal to save him, right? A smirk that showed a bit too much fang. And you're gonna end up needing some last-minute help to pull it off, so you might as well tell me now and save yourself the trouble. Kurama stared for a long moment. Then he looked away and softly murmured, I'm open to ideas. Whoa, Yusuke said, holding his hands up. I only do crazy and suicidal ass-saving. I'm not so great at the probably really illegal part, and I don't got a lot of secret connections to tell me about fancy artifacts of ultimate rescue, either. Kurama didn't answer. There was a reason he'd gone after the Mirror of Other Dark, and it wasn't from having a wealth of other options. After a long moment, Yusuke sighed, letting his hands drop. You sure you don't have any ideas? No answer. So, what are you gonna do? Kurama's fingers clenched in the folds of his robes. Find the man who did this. Well, yeah, Yusuke said, unfazed. You're gonna leave some for me, right? Of course. Yusuke paused. That's assuming Kuwabara leaves any for us. Behind them, metal squealed far past its limits and snapped. As one, they both turned to look. Kuwabara was staring blankly at a hollow, painted iron bar in his fist, as thick as his thumb and broken clean off its place on Yukina's headboard. Slowly, he uncurled his fingers from the dent they'd made in the metal, letting the bar fall to the floor with a clang. Yusuke's breath hissed through his teeth. Yeah, that'll be a no. He scrubbed a hand through his hair and stood. Look, I got a game. He paused, quickly gave Kurama's shoulder a squeeze, then turned and stormed off, muttering to himself. Why the hell I'm playing, I don't know. You'd think they want a bunch of hurt kids in here to keep you guys company or something. Don't break the stadium, Kurama called absently after him. Make things difficult, why don't you? Then he was gone, leaving Kurama alone with Kuwabara and the patients in a ringing silence. Finally, Kuwabara spoke.
Yukina's got dibs.
Kurama didn't look back, only inclining his head in acknowledgement. She'll heal the remains for me. That didn't need, nor receive, any response. Silence descended once more. The next couple of hours passed in a blur. Madame Pomfrey made the rounds with Hiei's charms and medicine twice more. A house elf brought a tasteless, too large lunch and the nutritive liniment. Somebody in bloodied green and silver robes stumbled in, took the potion he was given, and made a quick escape, proving the house still held some survival instinct. Then, nearly 12:30, the door opened again, and a complete stranger walked in. Tall and slim, the man had long red hair caught in a ponytail, a large fang hanging from one ear, and was wearing a heavy leather jacket. His steps faltered for a split second, eyes going wide in a freckled face, before he recovered with a discerning look between Hiei and Yukina. He stepped up between the two occupied beds and smiled at Kurama.
"Somebody call a curse breaker?"
Kurama felt something thin and sharp twist deep inside his chest.
Kuwabara leapt to his feet. "Curse breaker?"
he echoed, voice hoarse and catching mid-word. The man nodded.
"Bill Weasley."
Ron's brother, Kurama guessed. There was a definite family resemblance. Bill held his hand, clad in a fingerless, dragonhide glove, out to Kuwabara.
"And you are... Kazuma Kuwabara."
He paused, eyes going slightly wider.
"I'm dating Yukina, the sister,"
he added, unnecessarily.
Bill nodded.
"Sorry it took so long to get here, but I had to negotiate some freelancing with the goblins." His gaze flicked back to Kurama, and he pulled back, thumb brushing over his holstered wand before taking it out. Kurama's fingers twitched towards his hair, but Bill only continued. "You don't care about that." Summoning the abandoned chair, he settled himself on it and leaned back, one booted ankle resting easily on his opposite knee. His wand stayed out. At the ready. "For my credentials, I took top newts, apprenticed in Italy, did my residency in India, and have worked the past several years in Egypt. I've broken and deactivated curses in tablets, livestock, fields, buildings, and people, ranging from muggles to goblins. So I have a broad range of experience, but I've never worked with Japanese curses." His eyes shifted back to Kurama. "Is that acceptable?"
"Of course,"
Kuwabara blurted, before Kurama could say anything. Bill's eyebrow went up minutely, questioningly, though Kurama didn't think Kuwabara noticed. Deferring to Kurama's authority, though he couldn't know Kurama was more personally involved with Hiei.
"You're the available expert," Kurama murmured. "It will have to do."
Bill nodded, unoffended. "Which of you will know more about the patient's history?"
"Kurama,"
Kuwabara automatically replied, pointing. Then, Bill pointed at the curtains, giving Kuwabara an apologetic look. "Mind giving us some privacy?" Kuwabara's head bobbed once in a startled nod. So Bill charmed the silencing curtains shut and set his wand aside on the nightstand. His entire attitude changed, the casual familiarity vanishing. Kurama got a glimpse of hard eyes before Bill's gaze dropped. "How should I address you?" he asked. Warning bells went off in Kurama's head. "Kurama," he replied, eyeing the man. To his credit, Bill didn't flinch. "I'm going to do my best to save him, but there's one more thing I should mention," he said, taking a deep, slightly shaken breath. "I've never worked on a demon before." Kurama felt himself go cold. Bill quickly added, "It's my job. I need to know these things on sight." He dared a glance up towards Kurama's eyes. "Any curse breaker who lasts more than a couple of months can see it. Although," he shrugged minutely, "I'm not sure what you are." "Good." Kurama definitely didn't like the idea that their cover could be blown so easily. "You won't be telling anyone," he said pointedly. The gaze flickered up again,
not long enough to identify the expression, before Bill inclined his head. Of course not. He summoned a parchment and quill to hover in mid-air near him, then set his wand aside and reached for Hiei. Kurama's hand clamped down on his wrist. Look at me, Weasley-san. Dark eyes met his, hard and slightly too narrow. That was a familiar look. I want to know why you won't kill him with that much hate in your eyes. Bill's muscles flexed under Kurama's hand. He rooms with my youngest brother, the man said, voice over-controlled. They're smaller than my baby sister. I'm well aware that you're all likely older than me, but none of you are fully grown for your kind. His eyes flashed. I have problems with curses on children. Even if he wasn't telling the truth, he wouldn't risk his siblings, not in a family as close-knit as Kurama had seen the four youngest were. Slowly, Kurama released the man. Thank you. Bill settled his fingertips lightly at Hiei's temples, careful not to dislodge the loosely draped headband. A soft violet haze formed around his hands, drifting into Hiei's skin. Slowly, Hiei's flesh faded away under Bill's hands, revealing a web of muted gray light. The chair creaked under Kurama's hands. Sickly, multicolored spots were scattering among the strands as Kurama watched. A thread near Hiei's shoulder snapped, trailing dark sparks. What? That's the Thurgic system. The network his magic flows through, Bill said. Much more complex than in humans. Dictation, he added, raising his voice. The quill leapt to attention. Patient, Jiganshi Hiei. 6th year, Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, November 2nd, 1996. Patient is a full-blooded demon of Japanese origin. Kurama shot upright. Pause dictation. The quill's scritching stopped, a blot of ink dripping onto the floor, as Bill met Kurama's eyes again. Cursebreakers have the best locks, he assured Kurama. Nobody's going to read this but me, though I can erase that part if you prefer. Kurama opened his mouth, then paused. How important is it to write down? Considering how likely I am to forget it, Bill asked dryly. Not very. Erase it. Bill nodded. Backtrack to 1996. The quill scribbled back over the line it had written. Resume dictation. Physical development approximates wizard age 15. Patient is the inverted member of Dimetric Twins. He paused for a moment, shaping words under his breath. Then continued, Ice element, manifests as fire. Thurgic system appears overdeveloped comparable to wizards of similar physiology. Codependent overlays have been implanted in the Anja chakra. In it? Kurama thought the Jagan had just pushed the magical node nearest to it out of the way. And the right forearm, necessitating use of left hand for wand work. Patient is otherwise healthy for his age group. New paragraph. Pause dictation. That's it for the general overview, he told Kurama. The rest of this I'm not going to be very responsive for, though the quill will still be taking notes. So before then, I have to ask, what's the cursed eye supposed to do? What should I expect? It amplifies his powers, Kurama began, going through the various traits he'd observed and ignoring the little voice saying this wasn't his prerogative, these weren't his secrets to share. The remote viewing Hiei had gotten the damn eye for, the hypnosis he'd used on Keiko, the telepathy, the technique to power up that turned Hiei green and shook his grip on sanity. That'll be damage to the crown chakra, Bill muttered, quill scribbling away. Not surprising, given the size of the socket. I'll check for scar tissue. There's probably a lot of it. Curses hold well in scars. That wasn't exactly encouraging. It took Kurama a moment to realize the quill had stopped. Look, Bill said, I'm going to do my best, all right? And that sounded so much like the doctor's long before Shiori's cancer had become irreversible that Kurama had to bite his lip and look away. Bill started to reach for him, then visibly thought better of it, and took hold of the bed frame in a move that looked almost natural. A quick tug pulled the bed just far enough from the wall for Bill to squeeze himself and the chair behind Hiei's head. "This'll take a while," Bill explained, fingertips finding the same spots along the temple and jaw, thumbs burying themselves deep in Hiei's hair. "Figure you and Pomfrey won't want me in the way any more than necessary. Feel free to read whatever you can of the parchment." Kurama turned the parchment to a better angle and settled down to wait. With Bill there, the hours seemed to drag more slowly than they had through the night. He now finished the hourly life support routine with Madame Pomfrey by attempting to read Bill's notes. Though the words seemed to be only gibberish and hieroglyphics, the quill sometimes writing left to right and sometimes right to left, some of the symbols flickered in the corner of Kurama's vision. Ice and fire, the flash of light off a blade, but were just simple ink once they'd caught his attention. Occasionally, the quill would sketch a diagram in the margin, and these were only marginally more decipherable. Arrowhead shapes following maze-like tangled lines of ink, often looping up off the parchment until the diagram scrolled away. Then, a line in Japanese leapt out at him. "Yukina is not to know that Hiei is her brother." Kurama paused, glancing back at the verb. "Yukina ni shirarete wa ikenai." That bastard! Hiei had let them all think, Hiei himself might have thought, that it was only that he couldn't tell Yukina they were related. But instead, she wasn't allowed to know. So since she'd figured it out on her own, it made entirely too much sense in retrospect. The type of person who'd exploit a loophole such as, say, letting someone else tell Yukina who Hiei really was not the type of person Kurama would risk a jagon on. But the doctor hadn't made allowances for Yukina figuring it out on her own, or somebody finding out and telling her without Hiei's consent. That said a lot for how intelligent the doctor was. Kurama's eyes narrowed. If the doctor had watched the Dark Tournament and seen Hiei's interaction with the rest of the team, he would definitely have taken precautions in case of this. Dinner arrived and vanished, untouched, as Kurama considered his approach. Finally, deep in the wee hours of the night, Bill took a shuddering breath and sagged in his seat. Soft violet mist streamed up from Hiei's body, swirling into the last blank portion of parchment and leaving a human-shaped diagram of tiny symbols. The parchment rolled itself up with a snap. Bill's eyes opened, and he pinched the bridge of his nose wearily. "It's going to be difficult," he murmured, his voice leaving no room for doubt. "But I can save him."